But the Buddha's not just saying he's fine with the idea of other beings. He's saying the human life is actually the best set of conditions you can have for making this kind of transformation. You're here, you've got your consciousness, you've got this precious opportunity. Do something with it. And it's a step into the unknown. I think it's worth kind of acknowledging that. It's a step into the unknown. And in a certain sense, the question arises, well, am I asked to believe in something with blind faith, just the same as you are in other traditions? And I don't think you are. Because actually, one of the key elements of the Buddha's teaching is that it has to be verifiable in your experience. So while we may not know what lies over a horizon, we can say, does something carry us towards that horizon or not? So the Buddha says, test his teachings about the nature of reality in the fire of your own experience, the way a goldsmith tests gold. Yeah? And I suppose for me, although I've no experience of enlightenment personally, or whatever that's supposed to mean, I do have experience of listening to what the Buddha said, looking to see if I can observe whether it is or is not the case, and looking at the effect of practicing in the Buddhist tradition on my own self. And I can see that through Buddhist practice I've become more aware and, I hope, kinder. The Dalai Lama's got a very good and very famous quote at the moment, which is, his whole religion is the religion of kindness. If you wanted to sum up what religion without God is, it's kind of taking the idea of kindness and awareness and raising it up in a way to the sort of level that God gets raised up to without all the complications. God just gets in the way. That's maybe a shorthand way of saying it. And you've got this life now, and I suppose what you've got ahead of you is something that you can test in your experience, but is at the same time fundamentally a mystery. You have to sit with the fact that the nature of reality is not just complex, but it's ambiguous. You are not going to comprehend it all in one go. It's not going to be like that. So it's not the pursuit of knowledge. Wisdom in the Buddhist tradition is not the pursuit of knowledge. It's something that you really have to learn to embody and kind of apprehend with the whole of your experience. Does anybody have any questions before I go on to the next stages?
Well, I've always thought of Buddhism or the Buddha as being non-theist as opposed to theist.
Yeah.
In the sense that, well, I think there's a radical distinction. We can make a very big distinction between religious experience in the West with an overriding God who is not connected with humanity. And in the East, there's not that radical gap between humanity and divinity. They're a continuum, for the most part, in the East and in India. So I always thought of the Buddha as taking no position on the deity, in the sense that he just was not concerned with that issue that Brahmins were following the ethos that was generated from beyond.
I think it's partly language. He definitely is concerned about it. I mean, all the way through the Pali Canon, the Buddha is approached by Brahmins who make just that point, and they want to sort of squeeze what he's doing into the shape that already exists. In contemporary Hinduism, this happens. People talk about the Buddha as being an avatar of Vishnu, for instance. The Buddha is an atheist. He's absolutely adamant that there is no originator, creator God. As I say, he acknowledges that there may be other beings who may be more powerful and all sorts of things than us. But if they think they are the origin point of the universe, they're deluded. Mm-hmm. And if they see themselves as not being subject to impermanence and insubstantiality, they're deluded. So he's very strong about that. And it's a big departure in the Indian mystic religious tradition. And he wants to make that point quite often. He goes into, I think there's something like 14 questions that can't be answered within the traditional paradigm. And the Buddha goes through them all. I'll put the references for this up on the site, actually, during the week.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So, oftentimes when I listen to talks on Buddhism, I try to, in my mind, translate it to very simple language so I can understand it. So when you talk about this concept of impermanence that's conditional, is chaos a proper, would you accept that as an easier definition of it?
No, I don't think so. I think chaos has got quite a different connotation as a word. sort of things that are wildly out of control. And the universe isn't wildly out of control. It's not quite that way. It's more just that there are some things where you can see quite easily what gives rise to something and what gives rise to its passing away. But there are other things that are much more complex. Mm-hmm. And the Buddha just wants to make sure that when you have a model of a conditioned universe, it's not black and white. So it's not like A plus B equals C. It tends to be A plus everything through to Z equals question mark. I mean, that's the equation of the universe. Okay. So it's complex. Yeah.
The way I get the concept is the universe is a chaotic arrangement of things.
Mm.
Chaotic arrangement, whatever that means.
You can discuss it during the week on the website, chaotic arrangement. Mm-hmm.